Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build Forward Top Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Tuesday morning. Boomer was up in New Hampshire yesterday with another Boomer Esiason Foundation golf outing, so he will be back tomorrow. And if you were listening a couple weeks ago and you are an internet savvy person, you know who is sitting to my right. If you're an old man technology spot guy, you may not know, but you're going to know him as he's going to be sitting in here for 4 hours. And that is the great content creator, internet sensation, Nikki Cass. Nikki, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jill. How are you, my man?
I'm doing great. And you were in here and did such a great job for just about 25 minutes when Boomer and I were interviewing you, and I said, listen, you're a sports fan, you're a baseball guy, you're a Yankees fan. Do you think you could do 4 hours? And you said, yeah, I think I could.
Yeah, you know what? When you asked me that, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh boy. But I said, I'm in. Let's do it. So no, this is awesome. Like I said, I'm going to keep saying that I've been a fan of the Fan since I was literally in high school. And I know that's not saying much, but I'm excited to be here. It's going to be a good morning. We got some good stuff lined up.
Yes, absolutely. So you are someone who, if you know, you haven't seen Nikki's stuff, he is just hilarious. He does the great impersonations of everyday people in your life. The guy who is working at the deli, the guy at the pizza shop, your old baseball coach. And he got so popular around here locally that the New York Yankees asked him to be a part of their, what was a pregame situation, right? And then they asked you to be Coach Al.
Yeah.
And then you got, so if you've been to a game and you're like, who's that guy with the pillow under his shirt doing that impersonation? That is Nikki Cass's Coach Al.
Yes, sir. I have to correct you there. It's a blanket. It's a little bit more.
It's a blanket.
It's a blanket.
Okay.
It's not a pillow because the blanket's a little bit more aerodynamic. Like you can, when I move side to side, or when I really like get into like doing like the short movements, the blanket is actually moves with the body. The pillow would kind of constrict me in a way. But no, nevertheless,
trial and error, right?
Nevertheless, great introduction. No, it's been a blast. The Coach Al thing was really cool that we did last year. That was like a 1 day shoot from sun up to sundown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. I mean, at the end, I was tired of being Coach Al at the end of the day. It was hot. Shout out the Yankees. No food the whole shoot. But
really?
Yeah, it was. Oh, wow. Then they treated us to the legends downstairs.
So my God, that legends.
I mean,
it's unbelievable. But you got a situation like that. I guess you, because I know you're a very clean eater, I guess you could go over and get some of like the meat that they slice there, the vegetables. But like you can get in trouble over there. That candy wall.
That whole thing is like,
yeah,
it's like the Ritz-Carlton. But if you want to eat bad, I mean, all day. But they also have, and this really gets me going, is the prime rib station.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
That thing is insane.
When I see that ladle go into that old shoe and then they pour it over the meat, I mean, I've never been more excited in my life to just devour something.
And you know what? The guy who's cutting it, always in a bad mood.
Of course.
He doesn't want to cut that thing.
He does that for 82 games a year, 81 games a year, slicing that scene.
Gets to the point, what do you want?
Yeah.
I want a slice of meat, sir.
He's going to put up a tip jar soon to be able to deal with that stuff.
As he should.
Yeah, of course, man. He's working his ass off down there. So I'll tell you the story later, but I had a long drive home after the Willie Colon golf tournament that was supposed to start at 11 o'clock that ended up starting at 1 o'clock. So I get in the car, and I'm listening to both the Yankees and the Mets, and we'll get to the Yankees' struggles in a second. But I have been very calm during this losing streak and said, I learned a lesson last year. I completely counted the Mets out in April and May,
thought that they were never going to make the playoffs, thought they were going to trade away guys at the trade deadline, and obviously they do what they do, and they get hot, and they go to the NLCS. So I told myself this year, at their lowest points, you just got to relax. You can't do the peaks and the valleys like you did last year. You got to relax. But last night, as I'm driving, and I guess I'm annoyed because I'm driving 2 hours home, too, but I'm thinking, like, this really could be a much larger issue. Because this pitching lab and these guys that were so good, that were carrying this team, it was like every day, it was, you know, Griffin Canning and David Peterson and obviously Senga, who is now hurt. And these guys were really the basis of these winning streaks and how they got off to a hot start. I mean, you know, last night you get Paul Blackburn, who I understand they only give up 3 runs, but Paul Blackburn's in trouble the entire time. He's got guys on base. He's laboring, and then you're down 3-0 already. And when your team that's losing, and then bang, you're down 3-0. You're like, here we go again to this freaking Braves team.
Yeah, but you know what, too? And I was speaking to, I'm glad you brought that up about being a Mets fan, because a lot of my buddies are really good Mets fans, and they always hit the panic button when, you know, even in like if they're losing 3 games or whatever the case is. For me, if I'm a Mets fan, Which like sometimes I float there, sometimes I don't. I'm a New York baseball fan, but I don't. Look, they were in first place 2.5 weeks ago. They lost 9 games in a row. If I'm you, I'm getting really upset about what's going on.
9 out of 10 and 9 out of 10. 7 in a row. Yeah, and, which is pretty bad.
Which is still horrendous. But I think you know the what they got going right now. I think that. They have all the right pieces. I think we just gotta kind of just take a deep breath, take it for what it is. It hasn't happened. Usually, in my mind, the Mets kind of go through something like this a little bit earlier. You've had a good sort of run, and I think, you know, I don't know how much it's going to be different with the who's pitching, Frankie Montas is coming in tonight. Who knows what happens? But I think,
have you seen his numbers down in the?
They're
rehab
not
start?
Great.
Not great. They're not, they had like a 14 ERA in rehab starts.
They're horrible. But again, I think, you know, being that the amount of money that they gave him, you gotta let him maybe earn his stripes a little bit when he gets up here, and who knows what could happen. And that's the other thing too. It's a long season. Like I'm that guy, Gio, when Mets fans and Yankee fans start getting like really amped up around this time if they're not playing well.
Yeah.
I'm kinda like, just take a breath, man. Like, we're not even at the All-Star break yet.
Yeah, I know. I think it's just sort of the way. It's really interesting because Juan Soto, when he was not hitting at the beginning of the season, the Mets were winning. Now he's having this unbelievable June, and the Mets aren't winning. He's the only thing offensively that's been a positive for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I think the level of concern goes back to the fact that, you know, when you have... And David Stearns and this pitching lab has been amazing. They've turned like a bunch of schlubs and tomato cans into really good pitchers. But it hasn't been the same during this losing streak. And you feel like there's nobody with Senga out that's going to put an end to it. Like David Peterson was their best pitcher. On Sunday, he had his worst outing against the Phillies. You know, then, you know, you're sending out Paul Blackburn against Schwellenbach last night, who's unbelievable. Now you got Frankie Montas with his injuries and his 14 ERA and a rehab start going up against Spencer Strider. It's like, who's the guy that's going to step on the mound and stop this?
You know,
do they have that guy right now?
I don't know if they have that guy, but I think what takes pressure off of the guys coming out is getting the bats going again. Like 1 through 5 is great.
Yeah.
Like, I think if they could have a little bit of, maybe they make a move towards the deadline, but if they have somebody at the end of the lineup who you could have, like, a little bit more confidence in and maybe manufacture some more runs, I think that the pressure on the rotation, because truth be told, the Mets have some pretty good pitchers. Like, in my mind, the guys that they have, I mean, Tsang is out, and I think Manaea is coming back pretty soon.
He is, yep.
I think that, you know, they have... Again, the tools, they're definitely a playoff caliber team. What are they, 1.5 games back?
Yeah, well, what did the Phillies do last night? Yeah, so they're, 13 games over 500 when they were 21 games over 500 at one point.
I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for the Mets here. I think that losing 9 out of your last 10 is abysmal, but I do think that they got good guys. And it's just, and the other thing too that I think about often in my car rides is, you got a guy like Juan Soto who's kind of coming in the fold to a Mets team that seemed, in my mind, pretty close-knit. Now you got this guy who's coming in. He's big money. He's huge money. He's big talent. Like, in my mind, you're still trying to figure out the how that all flows.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and he's – it's just amazing how, like, the team was riding high, and the only issue that they seemed to have was that Juan Soto wasn't producing for $765 million.
Yeah.
Now the team is losing, and he's carrying them offensively. He does have – of course, he has a big two-run homer, but then he strikes out in the eighth with – first and third and two out, and then you're thinking like, oh, well, I mean, that's when we really needed you.
Right.
But how mad can you get when no one else drove in a run?
That too, but and here's the ball player in me. He worked a phenomenal at bat.
Yeah.
That and if I'm more of like a player fan, if I'm watching that at bat as a Met fan, I'm like, you know what? He was in the at bat. You knew you had a fighting chance. It came down to who's going to win the battle. But at least you knew that he was fighting up there. And not for nothing, love my guy Alonso, but he struck out in the ninth too. And,
yeah.
And it could have been a tie game with one swing there. So I think Mets fans, they're the best fans because you guys are so passionate. But, you know, I get it. 9 out of the last 10. Let's maybe take a breath, regroup. Hopefully Frankie Montas does all right tonight.
I mean, but that's the issue. You know, it's hopefully Frankie Montas does the job tonight. You know, that's when you start. And the fact that the Braves, who were dead and buried, have now won four straight against the Mets, and now they're back at Citi Field and they lose another one. I mean, I'm still at a point where I'm not completely saying that they're now going to go in the toilet for the rest of the season. But I mean, somebody, either the offense has got to start scoring 6 or 7 runs a game, or these pitchers have to be the same guys that they were early on in the season. Because when both are going on at the same time, like, I mean, you played college baseball, you played high school baseball. It's almost like, it's amazing how when you start losing and that mentality that is going on is in your head. Like last night, down 3-0 felt like they were down 30-0.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's sort of the way it worked out. I mean, they scored 2 runs, but 3 runs was enough to beat them.
Yeah, yep, and you'll see too. They kind of look, and granted, I would feel this way as well. At the end of the game, they all look so defeated. If you looked into that dugout, like in the bottom of the ninth, they seemed very deflated. But again, it, baseball's a long season. It's a long game. Something can happen. One spark could go, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start clicking, and the back of the lineup is hitting, and you never know. I think I wouldn't count them out just yet, obviously, but the Mets are very, and they always have been in my mind, kind of a streaky team, along with the fan base. And who knows? Maybe we need Grimace.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year, of course, you had everything start rolling around in June. You had Grimace, and then Hock Tua came in, and then you had the
Tua shook it all up.
Yeah, man, she just disappeared. Now, speaking of, I mean, you're someone who has had a staying power on the internet. Hock Tua with that rug pull meme coin. That was the end of that.
Yeah, you know, my heart goes out to the Hock Tua.
Does it?
You know what I mean? Because it's such a wild industry.
Yeah,
and you know, sometimes you make moves that you don't really think through.
Yeah.
And you know what? I wish him all the best, but that's a little tough scene for the Hock Tua.
Yeah. Because she wasn't smart enough. Like, someone obviously influenced her in the wrong way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you take somebody who was just minding their business on a Friday night, and all of a sudden they say this thing into a microphone, and their world changes. It's kind of hard to be perfect in that sense. But you know, hopefully the Hock Tua. Maybe, you know what? Maybe they should bring her back out to Citi Field, have her throw the first pitch again, bring Grimace out, do a little bit of a reunion, maybe get the Rizzler involved.
Yeah. The Rizzler, though, he's playing both sides. Like, I know you're playing both sides a little bit too. He's
a
New York baseball fan, but
no,
the
Rizzler's been that way. I'm sure. I've always been that way.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
I just like ball, man. Yeah, I like why, and I'm a New York fan. But let me tell you, the Rizzler, that guy's killing it.
Yeah, you think?
That little kid, I saw him on Instagram at Fanatics Fest.
Yeah.
This guy's with DJ Khaled, Kevin Hart, the Rizzler.
Now, let me ask you a question. If the Rizzler is 30 pounds lighter than he is he the Rizzler? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How much of his success is based on his weight?
I think it's a little bit of the entire thing.
His swag and the thing with the face.
You
is
wouldn't
great.
Expect a kid to even that age to like do something that funny.
Yeah.
I think because he's a little bit on the chubbier side,
yeah.
it makes it a lot more hysterical. I mean,
so
I
you're
think
saying
it's just hysterical.
It's an ingredient. It's not the ingredient.
I don't think it's the ingredient.
Okay.
I think he may have to pivot down the road. I mean, the kid's 9 years old. We're talking about the length of his career.
Yeah.
You know, I could definitely see a pivot, maybe a podcast. For the Riz.
A pivot.
For a little bit of a pivot for Dr. Riz, but I think, you know, he's just firing on all cylinders. Every celebrity, you go on his Instagram right now, Wembanyama, Kevin Hart, yeah. DJ Khaled. I mean, his father must be having a blast.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen is like when he's 25 years old, nobody cares about him anymore, and he's needing money, he's going to be texting Victor Wembanyama and be like, hey, it's the Rizzler, man.
Listen.
And he'd be like, oh, crap, the Rizzler's still texting me, block.
Yeah, come on, I can't do it. Kid's nine, I'm not going to say that. Nine-year-old kid. You ain't going to get me to say
yeah,
that.
No, of course. You listen, I'm happy for him.
Get the Rizzler.
I haven't met the guy, but I know he's having a ton of success. But these are the things I think about. Like, what, like, I mean, and he's, I'm sure they're thinking about it, too.
Yeah.
Like where
that's what I'm saying.
Going?
We might need a pivot. That's
yeah.
right. Dude, I remember when we were filming, I do a podcast called Ball 5 with a bunch of major leaguers, and we were doing Pete Alonso. It was for like episode 4 or something like that. And we're in the Cadillac Club waiting for Pete, and one of the guys on the Mets, I'll leave him nameless because I don't know if he wants that out there, but he goes, yeah, we got the Rizzler today. Like throwing out the first pitch, and you would have thought that guy said, we got Will Smith coming out. I mean, the amount of yeah. excitement for the Rizzler was just, I mean, more power to him.
Yeah.
That face is killer.
It is. It is a killer face. It's also like the confidence from a kid like that at that age.
Right.
Who's, you know, on the chubbier side is that, I mean, that's really where I think it comes from. That's the genesis of
yeah.
it. You know, just that confidence. Everybody wants to have that confidence.
100%. I you know, I'll be lying if I say I don't hit a couple Riz faces in the mirror every now and then, just out of fun, just for fun.
Yeah, you know? I mean, of course. I mean, why not? I mean, he has definitely started that whole deal, and I still like. So the guy AJ that's with him, that's not his dad, right?
No. So if you want me to break this down for
yeah,
you,
do
what's
it,
going
do it quick,
on,
yeah.
real quick? Yeah. So I think AJ and Big Justice are their own.
Entity. Yeah.
And then I think the Rizzler joins in every now and then. And then there's this kid. He's a wild card. His name is Tony Cash.
Okay.
This guy, I had him over by the office one day. Yeah. This guy is the best. Like, imagine like an old school guy, like a 60-year-old old school guy who's seen some stuff, but he's 12. And like the way he talked, he came in and he was like, I want to get into merch. I'm like, all right, man, we can figure that out. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to get some T-shirts. I'm going to put Tony Cash on them. And how about this? I'll get some for your buddies, too. I'm like, how old are you? So that's the conglomerate. I think Tony Cash is up on the rise.
Yeah.
AJ and Big Justice and the Rizzler, they're kind of dominating the 10-year-old
demo.
Demo. Social media demo.
Number one with 10-year-old boys.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Nikki Cass in for Boomer this morning. We do have Jerry Recco back. Jerry is at home. We used to call it COVID Cottage back in the day, 2020 and 2021. But he is doing his updates from there, and it's a pretty cool setup. And he's got some cats running around occasionally. He's got pictures of us on the wall and
one
everything
passed away.
Oh, that's right, Julius, right?
Yeah,
R.I.P. Julius. Hmm. So you just got the one cat now?
Yeah.
Are you going to get another cat?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure at some point we will, but we do have Callie, and that's the cat that the kitten that Boomer helped me, and that's Julius. He passed away a few weeks ago.
Damn.
Very sad. But we still have Callie, and that's the one that Boomer helped me get. That was, if you remember, I think I told you this back in the day, in passing, I had referenced the fact that we were thinking about getting a kitten, and then within an hour, Boomer had us a kitten.
Yeah, right, of course.
Next time, think about getting a Lamborghini and see what happens.
Well, actually, to that point, if you look to your left, there's like a Ford F-150 model truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the truck that I thought I was getting.
Yeah, well, he did the same thing for, it's so funny. So he actually did get Craig a truck that he ended up selling because of his financial issues at the time.
Yeah.
He promised you a truck if you kept the show number one, which you did during that time. You didn't get the truck. Then he told me, I'll get you a truck if we hit 5 number ones in a row. We did. We hit 11 in a row. No truck.
So this guy's got to get his truck in order.
But it's, listen, I am not complaining at all.
Nope.
It was him that brought it up. We didn't ask.
Exactly.
He told us.
But that's almost even worse, Gio, if I'm being honest with you. Don't promise me a truck if you can't deliver on a truck.
He can deliver on the truck. He just decided he didn't want to.
Okay.
You know, like, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, that's different.
He didn't want to, like, set the precedent where, like, all right, now I have to hand out trucks every time. But he also probably didn't think that we were going to accomplish those things, and then we did. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, crap, I got to get these guys trucks. Mm. But if Craig didn't sell his truck, we would have gotten those trucks. I blame Craig for that.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it might be on Craig.
Like, because Boomer bring that up all the time. Be like, you know, I got Craig that truck, and then he sold it, you know what I mean? So I'm like, well, I'm not selling mine. I'm keeping mine.
Listen, I ain't Craig, Boomer. Give me the truck.
Yeah, it would have been great. Mm. But it's okay. He treats me to a lot of golf, a lot of great things. Buys breakfast.
It would be nice, though, if you pulled up the golf in a brand new truck.
It would be nice. It's just a Raptor one day was in the driveway that he promised. But anyway, all right, Jerry, what do we got here as far as sports?
Well, since you guys went heavy on the Mets in the open, let's start with the Yankees because they were in Cincinnati. The Reds, not a bad team. And, of course, the place was packed to see Aaron Judge, who did give them what they wanted with a home run early. But the night belonged to the Reds superstar.
1-2 pitch, swing on and hit to right field, hit well. Going back, Judge. He's on the track and gone.
Hey now.
Six rows deep, Ellie De La Cruz having a night. His third RBI this evening. That's his 18th home run. Takes his RBI total to 55.
And that was Dave Sims with the call here on the Fan. He did have himself a night. He also singled, he tripled, he went 3-for-3, he drove in 3 runs, and the Reds beat the Yankees 6-1 in the series opener. Now, not as bad as the Mets, but the Yankees are scuffling too, as they have dropped 8-of-11 with this loss last night. Now, Judge homered early, but that was a solo home run. For the night, the Yankees were 0-for-12 with RISP, runners in scoring position. This was Judge.
Yeah, I had a couple opportunities with guys on base and, you know, pop one up, fly out there. I got to get the job done, but I think it's just going back to guys having intent, going up there with a plan and trying to execute.
And they did not execute when they needed last night. Gavin Lux also homered for Cincinnati. Alan Winans was the guy who made the start for the Yankees. Yankee debut didn't go so great. He said maybe first time around okay, but when you see the order the second time, that's when you got hurt.
Yeah, you know, I think I pounded the strike zone and was able to attack these guys. I feel like we had a really good plan in place before the game. And the first three innings were pretty smooth. I feel like I was getting some early contact and pitches were working how I wanted them to. But a couple hit by pitches and a couple middle fastballs, kind of would like those back a little bit.
Mm, here's a quote that I read last night from Winans where he goes, I feel like there's another gear I could hit. Probably. he doesn't have a ton of confidence, but probably another gear in here somewhere.
Well, he's going to need it if he's going to get another start. The Yankees now 45-33 with the loss. They will send out Carlos Rodon tonight as the series does continue. As for that Met game that you guys were discussing, and I thought during the warm-up show, Al put it perfectly. So you've got Juan Soto makes the great catch. Juan Soto hits really hit it hard. The two-run homer that brought life back into the building. The Mets were down 3-0. Now it's 3-2. Unfortunately for Juan Soto, this is the at-bat, though, people probably walked out remembering most from last night.
So now that fastball's in the mind of Soto. 3-2. Nimmo ready to run. Here's the payoff pitch. Swung on and missed strike 3. Got him with a slider, and that retires the side.
Yeah, had two guys on. Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose. Radio.
Yes, two guys on, two out. They bring in the reliever Dylan Lee, retires Soto, strikes him out, and the Mets are, they go down feebly in the ninth inning. They lose to the Braves again. 3-2 was the final score. You had Ronald Acuna Jr. hit the home run and dancing around the bases. We know Michael Harris and Sean Murphy driving runs. Here's Carlos Mendoza. This lineup is not doing much of anything these days. What is up?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Especially when you're chasing a lot, and it feels like during this stretch we're getting down early in games, and then the at bats are pretty much completely different.
Yeah, aside from in Philadelphia where they hit a million home runs that one night. Here was Soto just talking about the offense being in a funk.
It just happens, you know. The season is going to be up and down, so, and you know, things happen. I think these guys are trying their best to come through, and I mean, as a team, we all trying to come through in big situations and try to put some runs for the bullpen and the starter, but it ain't happening right now.
You know what sucks is the fact that it's not like the Braves went on some run in, you know, against the Marlins. They lost 2 out of 3 from the Marlins and then show up at Citi Field and then right off the bat are beating the Mets again. And Blackburn, I know it was 3-2 and the focus is on the offense, but I really believe Blackburn's struggles early on in this game set the tone. And when you're in this losing streak and then all of a sudden you're down 3-0, I mean, it's that mentality again of we're going to lose this game. And he was laboring. I was listening in the car. It was actually tough to listen to because, you know, Howie Rose, when you know that cynical, like, pissed off Howie when he's like, doesn't want to say that this guy sucks, but he's still kind of doing it. You know, he was that old. And that's another ball outside. Man, he's worked all of these counts to 3-2, just basically hammering them in his own way. And I think that's a big part of the story last night. In addition to the offense, not scoring
Braves, but the Braves almost like came out when Acuna came out, boom, like they, and then he stole second, and Ray was like off to the races from there. It was almost like the Mets weren't even ready to get it going, and they kind of just took advantage of it. But that's funny right now.
You know, I don't know if the Mets will do it, but Acuna's like, he's definitely got the most demonstrative home run trot out of anybody right now.
Yeah. He's dancing around the bases.
I mean, it is. He does something after every base. Like, and I'm generally not the guy who gets annoyed by that stuff, and I'm not annoyed by this. I like the entertainment of it. I just know that that's going to piss off the wrong guy at some point.
And you know what, though? I don't know if, like, I think it's good for the game. The guys are showing their personality. Yeah. Like, when Chisholm does the Euro step coming around the bases, I think that's awesome. Sometimes, though, it's like, all right. You know what I mean? Yeah,
enough.
Or allow for there to be some sort of like, all right, you want to do that? Then, like, if we go up, then it may get a little chippy. And that's ball. But, like, for me, I think sometimes, you know, let's not do cartwheels around second base. Let's tattoo a baseball and run around the base.
He actually flaps his wings.
Nah, it's insane.
He does this around first base.
Nah, it's insane.
And then he also does a Euro step too, going into third base. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
The theatrics they're really a lot sometimes.
Yeah, as Howie said last night, the histrionics of Ronald Acuna Jr.
But hey, listen, if you're mashing baseballs and you're feeling it, you know, I'd probably do something if I'm thinking about it. Like if I go yard at Citi Field, I might do like a cartwheel or do a little spin. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know how the energy's going to be.
Of course.
And enough of the Spencer Schrellenbach, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Pitches against the Mets. Another 7 innings last night for
the shoved.
Win. Yeah. 9 of 10 for the Mets. 1-9 in their last 10 games. You've got, Frankie Montas tonight. Yeah, we know how that went with the Yankees. Perhaps a little bit better here. I know not great in the minors, but he will get the start tonight against Spencer Strider on Mets Odyssey Radio. One other thing from baseball last night, because I know we are so judge-focused, obviously, and that makes sense here in New York, and also maybe Juan Soto and Pete Alonso, but this Cal Raleigh had another home run for Seattle.
The stretch and the 2-1 pitch. Swing and a well-hit ball. Deep to left field. And this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. And Cal Raleigh has become the first Mariner in history to hit 10 or more home runs in 3 consecutive months.
Nuts. He's got 32 home runs. It's June 24th. That's pretty good.
Mariners, and he's not a former Mets prospect.
Which
is great.
Mariners beat the Twins 11-2, 32 on the season for Raleigh. All right, a couple of other things here before we go. Gilbert Arenas was on the Dan Patrick Show. So we know how the NBA Finals went. It went, you know, 7 games. It was great theater, at least in the first half the other night. You had the injury, obviously, to Tyrese Halliburton, but Indiana maintained a lead going to the break, and then Oklahoma City ran away with it in the second half. That said, best of seven. It goes seven. Arenas was asked by Patrick about, you know, how it will be remembered. I'm probably double leading in, but whatever. Here's the clip.
10 years from now, we'll remember these NBA finals for what?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. We won't. No, let's just be honest. When it comes to small market teams, we really don't remember much about them. We don't really talk about the Toronto championship.
All right, Eddie, that's good. See, I disagree with him. I think we do. I actually do think we talk about Kawhi Leonard and the shots that they made, but I do understand his point that they're not two monster organizations, but I thought Nothing was a little harsh.
Yeah, but this guy's taking it to the extreme with his opinions, and he knows that's what's going to get him in this business and doing well. I mean, this is Gilbert Arenas is the same guy who said that the reason why Karl Anthony Towns doesn't succeed is because he's built like a woman. Yeah, I believe he said he's built like a straight up bitch.
That's just you're fishing for something. Yeah. I think we didn't get no Mike Breen back to Allen bangs, but like I think it was a pretty good series. And also too, one of my good friends is a Pacers fan, funny enough, and then one of my best friends growing up was a Thunder fan. This guy's been in the trenches with OKC. I mean, I remember when we were at breakfast one time and KD got traded to Golden State, the guy asked him what he wanted to eat, and he just got up and left. Like, he was looking at his phone, and he just got up and walked out as if the guy thought he offended him. But no, I think, I don't agree with Arenas at all. I think for certain people, I think it's going to be a moment to remember.
Also from the NBA, the Celtics reportedly trading Jrue Holiday to the Blazers for Anfernee Simons and two second-round draft picks. We got the NBA draft coming up tomorrow night. And from the NFL, we are still weeks away, obviously, from training camp, and the season's a couple of months away. But, and I know he said this before, but this was Mark Schlereth on a podcast talking about the Jets and how things went or didn't go last year. And yes, this is revisionist history at this point. But interesting when he was talking about the lack of the run game that the Jets had last season. And these comments come from a conversation he had with one Aaron Rodgers.
This scheme has zero, like, there's zero chance of that being successful. And you look at it and you're like, why in the world would you guys do it that way? And so time and time again, I kept seeing things that are like, that is just dumb. Like, what? Why would you do that? Like, there's no way you can be successful doing that. And so I asked Aaron about it, just about the run game in general. And I said, man, this is like, it's really bad. This, and he went on this diatribe just about, you know, the dysfunction of what we're trying to accomplish and all these different things.
That actually does make sense when you think back to what we watched last year.
Yeah, I mean, is he talking about, I'm sure he's talking about more Todd Downing than Nate Hackett, because
probably. I didn't hear the entire interview, but just the clip in and of itself and how terrible their run game was and how much we questioned what they were doing, it makes sense.
I mean, they had bad coaches all around. I mean, they just had really bad coaching staff. Saleh was not a great head coach. Ulbrich was in over his head. Their offensive coaches were the worst, obviously, with Nate Hackett and then Downing. So it's not surprising to me.
Not at all. Next hour, we will hear from a big Mets fan who has had enough of this team. That's coming up. And I got a couple of other NFL clips along with the baseball as well.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Nikki Cass in for Boomer this morning. The Mets made a bunch of roster moves, and you know they send Luis Angel Acuna down. They also, of course, sent Francisco Alvarez down, and then they brought in a guy in the bullpen, Dickie Lovelady. So his name is Richard Lovelady, but he wants everybody to call him Dickie Lovelady.
You know, we always used to say playing ball that the pitchers were the weirdest cats on the team.
Yeah.
This is, and listen, I don't know Dickie from a hole in the wall, but this seems like another one of those cases. You know, If I was Richard, what is it? Love Lady. Love Lady? I'd just call him Dick. Dick Love Lady.
Well, I think he's leaning into it, which is good.
Well, I think that is good.
So
I
he's
agree.
Like, you know, if he's like, man, if he was a jerk about it and was like trying not to have fun with it, I'm Richard, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, call me Rich or Richie. Don't call me Dick. I'm not Dick Love Lady, okay?
Yeah.
It's not funny.
Then that guy no longer becomes fun. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm in. No, listen, you know what? I apologize. I think I gave Dickie Love Lady a little bit of a bad start there. But no, I think it's great. He's a reliever, that guy?
Yeah, he's a reliever.
Yeah.
I didn't know he existed until yesterday.
But that's the thing. Sometimes I'll go to a game. I was at the Phillies Mets last weekend in Philadelphia on a Friday. At third base, they had a guy. Oh, no. This is the Yankees I'm talking about. Otto Kemp, maybe?
Okay.
I never heard of the guy.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes that happens. Like, in Major League Baseball, I feel like in the NFL and in the NBA, like, you kind of know, like, who's out there.
Right.
You'll go to a game one time, and Dickie Lovelady comes out of the bullpen. And you're kind of like, who is this cat? You're, like, looking on the phone.
Right.
Like on the roster, is this guy on the 40-man? Hey, that's the beauty of the game, man. There's so many. Like, I bet you could walk by in a day if they just sprinkled, like, Major League Baseball players around New York City. You could walk by 50 of them and never know.
Oh, yeah. No, especially baseball. I mean, you see, like, football guys are huge. Basketball guys are so tall. Hockey players and baseball players just can get away with it, like, blending into the crowd. Plus, there's, you know, there's more of them than on an NBA roster. But so I was just thinking, like, of all the gimmicky stuff that got the Mets going last year, maybe Dickie Lovelady. Dickie Lovelady could be the Jose Iglesias of this year.
That would be amazing. You know what they should do? They should give him, like, a crazy walkout. They should start a chant about Dick, like, something. And then hopefully this guy comes out, he shoves.
Right.
And Dickie Lovelady. Is the guy that flips this thing around.
Yeah.
And maybe they start going on a win streak. But you know what? And correct, I think Frankie Montas, you know, I'm one of those guys that's like, man, give him a shot. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he's getting it.
He's getting it tonight. We'll see.
So speaking of names, and like, part of me kind of feels bad even bringing this up because I'm sure that, you know, she's heard it many times. But there's a guy that works here who went to Fordham, so he follows all the Fordham sports accounts. And he sent me this over the weekend. It says, welcome to the family. This is a real name and a real post. Welcome to the family. Help us welcome grad transfer Jalen Sackrider. I swear to God. To the Stags family. So it's Fairfield women's basketball. This girl's name is Jalen Sackrider, which, this is not April Fool's. And as my friend said, he's like, this almost feels impossible. like, how did Grandpa Sackrider not change the name? You know, like, he must have been the toughest son of a bitch in the world.
Let me tell you something. This is why. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
I mean, it is legit. And I'm thinking, like, this is going to go viral somehow. Like, someone's going to get a hold of this.
If I'm Miss Sackrider, I'm not changing. As a matter of fact, the guy that I marry is changing his last name to Sackrider. How you doing? I'm Mike Sackrider. This is my wife.
I thought you were Mike Jones. I was.
but the Sackriders, they just kind of... I'm changing the whole family lineage. So I could walk around... I may even go get a PhD. So now people call me Dr. Sackrider.
Yeah, I mean, I can't... Like, those discussions had to have happened at some point.
100%.
Like, someone sat around and was going like, do we roll with this or do we not roll with this?
They call a family meeting.
Right.
Everybody who's in support of the Sackrider stand on the right. This poor girl, she's probably sleeping right now.
Yeah, I know.
We're bashing Sackrider on the air.
I know, getting a million texts. You know what's going to happen? Because this is what happens with this show. Her dad, Mr. Sackrider, will be on the phone at some point.
Yeah, he's calling in. We're going to see on this thing right here, Todd Shack Rider. Topic, I want to talk.
I mean, it is legit S-A-C-K-R-I-D-E-R.
Wow. So it's not even like an S-A-C-C, like an off spelling.
It's a
straight up Shack Rider.
Straight up Shack Rider. Yeah. So the only theory that I have is that like her grandfather, great grandfather, whatever, was the toughest son of a bitch in the world. Like, because you can't be like a nebbishy person and walk around as a sack rider.
You know what, Gio? I don't know what word you just used, nebbishy. I've never heard that one before, but let me tell you something. Anyone who's going to walk around with the last name Sack Rider back in the day, I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah, it would have to be like, oh, damn, here comes Sack Rider.
Yeah, here comes Sacky Boy. Here comes Sack Rider. Because that's what happens. If you're not a hard-nosed SOB,
right,
you're getting a bazillion nicknames thrown at you. I just made one. Sacky Boy.
Yeah, Sacky Boy.
No, that's Sack Rider to you, son.
Yeah, right. Oh, sorry.
Oh, my bad. I didn't mean it.
Ugh,
that's God, good stuff.
Tough. It is tough, man. But, hey, she's successful. She's doing well. And she's joined the Fairfield women's basketball team.
God bless her.
And she's, yes, God bless her.
You know what it is, too? Like, if, like Balls. Like, imagine having that last name. I think about that sometimes. Balls.
Yeah.
Mike Balls.
Yeah, right.
Joe Balls.
Joe Balls.
Yeah. I think that's almost, yeah, let's leave it at this. I mean, we've been talking Sack Rider a little too much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what? It's amazing because I looked at the comments and nobody said anything. So, like, I know it's Fairfield women's basketball.
Yeah.
But there's not a single person that got a hold of that thing and was like, this is her name?
You slide it across the table, the application. Really? Yeah, really.
No, really fill it out.
She's hired.
Yeah, right. All right. But we're at Gio with Nikki Cass on the Fan.
Sorry, imagine going to the doctor's office. All right, good.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, that, like, first day elementary. So the other thing, too, like, I feel like back in, like, the 50s, were they laughing at names like that?
No,
like,
but that's also what I was thinking. Like, I think people were just too busy, like, trying to make it.
Yeah.
They weren't wasting time on Sack Rider.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's just your last name, Sack Rider.
Yeah, you were fighting in wars
fighting in wars. They don't matter, your last name. Yeah. Balls, Sack Rider, it doesn't matter. Ass.
Timmy Paint. None of it matters.
Larry Gooch. It don't matter. Right. Harry Sack.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, that's your name. That's what you do.
What a morning.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.